Habit. Denotation. Customary activity. Connotation. Addiction. My so-called reading habits have, over the course of my reading life, varied from the occasional to the feverish junkie mainlining. At times, it feels like I'm distractedly skimming stones and can't settle to the rhythm of the prose, for example, see most of Graham Greene. At others, I sink below the text surface and lose all sense of time and space, see any Marquez. The lure of a story that pulls you back to it, page after page, is like falling in love. There's a visceral need to be with it again. You chase the high and, like an addict, once you've found it, you want more. I don't consider myself a natural reader, which might sound odd coming from someone who always has a book with her and who reads non-fiction all the time. And maybe that's the problem. When I think of reading, I think of fiction, as if that's somehow more proper. I wasn't one of those children always with their nose in a book, desperately seeking out the next adventure. It took me a long time to really fall headlong into a narrative. I suppose some Enid Blyton was okay, and the odd C.S. Lewis too. And I went through the standard high school romance phase. But it wasn't till I was 15 that the act of reading literary fiction finally made adult sense to me. My English teacher, a lovely if weary self-neglecting mum called Mrs. Cribb, suggested I read The Grapes of Wrath. Well, I lived and breathed every one of Tom Joad's hopes, dreams and despairs, and raged at the social injustice. I'd never experienced anything like it. Mrs. Cribb will, sadly, never know that I associate her with all my major academic, professional, and perhaps even reading choices from that day on. I've never reread The Grapes of Wrath. There's a habit I don't have, rereading. It's simply too risky. It's not the text you remember differently, but the person you were when you experienced it first. And however imperfect, I'd like to remember the person I was, because that book made some of me. Around any reading, of course, there's a time, a manner, and a place. I sometimes try reading the literature of the place or country I'm in, but that doesn't always work. I mostly take a Kindle jam-packed full of possibilities and see where my fancy takes me. This year, I had Zola, Roy, Thesinger, Fitzgerald and Bryce all lined up waiting for inspection, but my entire holiday reading time was taken up with a much belated reading of Moby Dick. As I cycled around France, I journeyed across the Pacific with Ahab and Ishmael. I finished just as I arrived back in London, compounding the post-holiday blues with the awful dilemma of, now follow that. But that's the risk any reader takes. A low inevitably follows a high. I have a stack of tomes by my bed, gathering different levels of dust, depending on mood. I'm ever hopeful that I'll be in the mood for Morrison at midnight, Haddon at 2:30, or Dickens at dawn. But I might as easily pick up a book about Alexander von Humboldt, or Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, or even A Lonely Planet in the Unholy Hours, to wish myself elsewhere. My reading habits are continually evolving and shifting. I've rediscovered poetry of late, looking to poets like Richard Blanco to make sense of the strange times we're living in. I've also sought out the stories of Deborah Eisenberg and Alice Munro to help me understand the phases of life. But right now, the Pequod and Ahab are gone, washed down into a great sunless gulf, and I'm after the next big fix, the all-consuming narrative that makes me fall in love again. I might not find it today or tomorrow, but I know it'll surface soon.